in for Stink, who's off today. Roby day for Stink. Ryan Spielborgs is our Rockies and Baseball Insider, courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. I know you two have spent so much time on the road and talking, so I'll let you two just, you know, reconnect, Troy and Spilly. How you doing, Ryan?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic, Spilly. Spilly, help me out here. The Dodgers, I'd said that it's like it's not Godzilla versus Kong when it comes to the Rockies. It's the Geico Gecko. Are they ever going to beat the Dodgers, or is this just let's not overreact because of the 3-10 start because they played the Dodgers 7 times?
No, I think there's some overreaction that's warranted. You can't be leading baseball in walks from a pitching staff. So there's some things that are glaring that need to improve. But as far as the Dodgers are concerned, this is what's crazy about them. I really believe they're only halfway through their run. I think they're in the middle of their Atlanta Braves, you know, division title run. I think there's probably another World Series in there. And the reason why I believe it is if you look at their farm system, if you look at where they're at financially, you know, they take a lot of money off the books next year, and they'll be free to, if they want to keep Seager, whatever. They're just in a position of power. They have really earmarked players that fit the profile for baseball in 2021. Like, I'll give you an example. When you look at, and I believe this to be true, when you look at the best teams in the game over the last 10 years offensively, they all have the exact same trait. They do not chase. They don't chase pitches outside the strike zone. They're high contact rate teams, which is exactly what the Dodgers are. And then when you do put a ball in a place for them to hit, there's a high percentage of slugs. So when you look at the Dodgers stats over the last 8 years, they traditionally lead the league in on-base percentage. They are right up there in slugging. They do not chase at all. In fact, this year they're probably the best in baseball at not chasing. So, and it's not just like they have one guy. It's not like they have Mookie Betts and Justin Turner that do that. It's up and down the lineup. So even somebody like a Zach McKinstry has the same hitting profile that the Dodgers have earmarked. So that's what makes me believe that they're in a spot where, yes, the Dodgers are going to be really, really good for a long period of time.
Busy with Ryan Spielborg. Spilly, for all the valid criticism that the Rockies get when it comes to being able to find and develop pitching, they have done a pretty good job of being able to bring along some really good positional players over the years. And I'm curious, when you look at Ryan McMahon, is he the next one?
Yeah, he is. I mean, McMahon's put himself, he's worked really hard. Don't forget, he set the Rockies franchise record 2 years ago with 24 home runs. So as a second baseman. So he's proven he's good. He just hasn't proven it consistently. And this year, what I'm really impressed about with McMahon, is that he shortened up his sling. It's really hard, guys, like to change mechanically, even a small nuanced thing is like changing your bat path or wherever you're putting your hands. He's tightened up his sling that, you know, the high fastball is not an issue for him. He's getting to that pitch. He's able to hit, the secondary pitch. The biggest, you know, if you're going to track McMahon over the course of this year, it's making sure he doesn't get frustrated because he is somebody that can get frustrated. When he's not getting the hits and, you know, what happens to the lineup if it's really not producing it? Oftentimes, we almost call it hero baseball. And Troy, you get this being around baseball for so long. When the team's not playing well, guys try to put the team on their back and it makes the team even worse.
Yeah, you try to do too much. I used to see it when you guys were on the road and you come off a long homestand and the guys try to hit home runs and flat out the warning track 19 straight times and it just leads to problems. One of the guys who has struggled early, and I think we do forget his age, is Charlie Blackman. He's 35. Are we seeing the start of a decline with Charlie? And I say that because the last 3 months of last year weren't exactly where he wanted him outside of his, you know, he had a historically hot start. Is Charlie a guy they need to manage and keep an eye on as he gets to this age and still allow him to be a productive player, but maybe not the guy we're used to seeing 2-3 years ago?
I think that's a fair assessment. I'm not sure, you know, how Charlie feels. Like Bud Black always deflects. Like that's a question you need to ask Charlie.
Yeah, like Charlie felt like Todd Helton, he fills out the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, there's So with Charlie specifically, there's a couple indicators that say that he's fine. You know, it's his lowest strikeout percentage of his career. He's still squaring up the baseball pretty good. He has like a really high hard hit percentage. So it's not like he's getting blown, like the bat's getting blown out of his hands. Certainly his speed on the base pass is not what it once was, but he's a quality hitter. You don't lose, even as you get older, you don't lose bats. You don't lose bat speed as you get older. Look at Nelson Cruz. Look at Barry Bonds when he's done. You don't lose it. What you lose is the ability to bounce back the next day physically. And I think Charlie does a really good job of taking care of his body. But certainly, you know, when you're 35 years old and you played in Colorado, I mean, we all get this living in Colorado. This altitude takes a toll. I mean, there is a cost for playing baseball at altitude. And so I think that's a fair question when it comes to Charlie, but I'm not sure if Charlie even feels the effects of that. It might just be, you know, a couple balls land here and there and he's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can exercise some patience. They might get to the point where they have to make hard decisions with him. And you mentioned, you age in dog years here playing in altitude. I remember when Juan Pierre left and went to Miami, he had said when he played in Denver, he had to get in the sauna every day to get ready for a game. He's like, well, Miami, just have to go outside my front door. My body feels great. It does have an impact. Spilly, when you look at this pitching staff, the walks are an issue, but how do you address that in season? I mean, it's not as simple as, hey, throw strikes. Is it an issue of there's just not enough there and they're going to have to kind of give other guys chances at some point? I mean, it's just because in baseball, especially Coors, you can't give up walks. But on the road against good teams, free passes, it was frustrating. And I thought they got squeezed the other night. I thought John Gray got squeezed. But what do you tell – you've lived that as a player and you feel a season spiraling a little bit. What is the key, you know, when you see your pitching staff really starting to, you know, feel it, kind of grip it a little bit?
Well, you got to prevent finger pointing. That's first. I mean, that's most important for any good team is you can't start pointing the fingers or rolling your eyes on certain guys. Coming to a ball game, you want to get five or six guys hot when it comes out of the bullpen. You want two or three starters feeling good. You want, five hitters in the lineup swinging the bat well. And right now, if you were to add up all the players that are playing well right now, it's, what, maybe three or four. So that's just not – it's not a – mathematically, it doesn't work. Like that number doesn't work. So when you're in a place like this where the Rockies are at, where you're already, I mean, it's crazy to think you're eight games out of first place from the Dodgers and you're not even 2 weeks into the season. You have to like look each other in the eye and go, you know, bleep it. Let's go. Like just challenge people. It's a nonstop challenge because for a lot of the guys in that room, you know, it is going to boil down to, are you part of the solution or do we need to find somebody else? And that is a exciting place to be if you're a player because you got an opportunity. It's also nerve wracking if you are a player because you know that as you mount and your results continue to go poor, that you're more likely than on a good team if everybody was feeling and playing well, you could hide. When everybody's not doing so well, now it comes into question. How many people in this group are going to, you know, move on? So that is a challenge. But internally, if you start just going, you know, we're at that point where I have to trust you this way or the other, otherwise I'm probably going to get, you know, sent away. You really have no choice than to, you know, challenge yourself to be better. And I think that's a good spot to be in when you're looking for growth of athletes.
Real quick, we're short on time here, but I got to ask you this as I look outside and see this snow globe. And again, we're short on time, but you'll have fun with this. What would you rather do, eat shards of glass or hit 95-mile-per-hour pitching in a snowstorm?
I was going to ask because I saw the Mets arrived in town last night.
It was a snowstorm.
I think it was Marcus Stroman was doing video as they were coming off the plane. And one of the players said,
yeah,
what are we
in Green Bay?
What are we, the Green Bay Packers? Right now? You know, I've always been curious when I look out and I see this early April weather around baseball. Spilly, how do you guys play in this stuff? How do you do it?
Yeah. You put on a bunch of long sleeve shirts and you stand by the heater and you're praying that Colorado warms up. I mean, it is what it is. You grin it and bear it.
you've got to admit it just kills your hands when you get, you know, sawed off at 95.
And there's no way, there's not one person on the field tonight or tomorrow that's going to be really enjoying themselves.
Maybe the pitchers and catchers stay relatively warm.
Relatively.
Because they're moving. When you're sitting out there, Spilly, in right or left field on one of these nights, what are you thinking? Like hot chocolate when I reach run back to the dugout? What are you thinking? Come on.
No, I'm thinking it better be 3-for-3 or something like that. Otherwise, because if I don't have any hits, I'm done. I'm like totally checked out.
Spilly, thank you.
All right, you guys. Thanks for having me.
Ryan Spilborgs, courtesy of Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. Yeah, I don't know how they do it. I mean, I used to coach youth baseball, and, you know, the kids would be in there, and they'd be crying. I can't feel my hands, you know.
I don't want to hear it.
You know, and, you know, moms are coming in with hot chocolate. And I'm like, get out of my dugout. You know, and everyone's trying to put hand warmers on. I'm like, you're in Colorado, kids. Come on, you're Colorado kids. You can handle this. And it's like, I don't know how they do it.
High school baseball, I played against Joe DeBerry, Fisher DeBerry's son. He played at Eric Adams. He ended up playing at Clemson, drafted by the Yankees. He was like 6'4", 230, and he was a great football player, but he was also a left-handed pitcher. And this is back in 89, my senior year of high school. He's throwing about 85, 87, and we played in weather like this, snowstorm, 27 degrees. And he jammed me with a fastball. To this day, I can still feel Hornets in my hand.
Yeah, right.
I look down when I see weather like this, and I remember that time I got jammed by Joe DeBerry. And that wasn't with a wood bat.
Right.
That was with an aluminum bat. And it hurt to the point where I was pretending I wasn't crying as I jogged down to first base after I grounded out.
At least with an aluminum bat, you got a little bit more of a sweet spot. Man, these wooden bats. You catch one off the end or the handle. For me, it was always playing in early spring in New England with the cold weather. I'd always, early on, I'd catch a ball right in my left hand up above on my pointer finger, right there. And it'd get bruised. And it would never go away for the rest of the season because you would start to feel better. And then you just, on a cold day, you just catch it right perfectly. And it would just hit that pocket in a way and be like, we're back to it again. Right back to square one. Yeah, it takes, you know, these soft boys and girls in California and Texas, you know, get to play all year. Man, come up and play here in Colorado in April. Then we'll learn a little something about your toughness. Whew. All right. So Rockies and Mets scheduled to play coming up tonight. This is KKFN, KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.